You! Get your hand out of your pants.
Please put your tray table up. Put the crack pipe down.
You're the least without sin person I know.
Errol, we are on the air right now.
Bro, I was digging for gold.
That's what's eating Gilbert Grape, my friends.
Well, listen, call me casual, but I love to take my time.
I don't know where your head ends and this weird turtleneck sweater begins.
Speaking of which, whatever happened to that porn star you were dating?
Oh my God, it's huge.
And now,
it's West
by Midwest.
It's March, motherfuckers. It's the week of Monday, March 3rd. 2014. This is episode 54 of West by Midwest. My name is Chuck Anchor. I'm broadcasting live from Los Angeles, California.
My name is Errol Gribble. I'm broadcasting live from Lansing, Michigan. And we have our beautiful producer, Robert Hubbard, broadcasting live from
Chelsea, Michigan.
The king of puns, Rob Hubbard.
Rob Hubbard.
He loves it.
Folks, you can hang out with us on Google Plus Hangouts. We record live every Monday night. Ish. If you like our Facebook page, then we'll post a link, and you can come hang out with us, post comments, be offensive and profane, do whatever the fuck you want, because that's how we roll.
We're also on iTunes, so after this recording, if you missed it, you can go to iTunes, download, stream, subscribe to our podcast, and you can listen to past episodes as well as the most recent ones. So yeah, go to iTunes.
This podcast is brought to you by Ed Grabo. Or, as John Travolta would say, Bread Gabo. Ed Grabo.
Bread Gabo. Thank you, Bread Gabo. Speaking of which, John Travolta, right? The Oscars?
Oscar wrap-up!
The 84th Academy Awards was last evening. And you watched, right, gentlemen?
Both I you guys did. Watched? Ellen DeGeneres keeping it down. A little shout-out to our friend Jamie Moyer, who was in the little Jimmy Fallon thing. No, what's his name?
Jimmy Kimmel sketch.
The Jimmy Kimmel sketch.
During the red carpet.
She played the fat, out-of-shape American wife.
Well, she's awesome. We want to have her on the show. That's why we're giving her props right now.
Jamie, come on the show. We love you.
If you didn't see the Oscars, we have a little bit of a recap here. There was just some crazy events that happened, like Ellen ordered a pizza. She ordered like 20 pizzas for a bunch of A-list celebrities, right?
She didn't, though. She literally only was like too large.
No, there was more. If you read the like information on it, she ended up ordering like 20 pizzas. I mean, it wasn't shown on the broadcast, but like...
Right, the whole joke was she was like, hey, that was the one thing I will say about Ellen. Like, her opening monologue was very funny. It was great. But then I felt like everything else she did was a lot like her show, or it's just like bits and I'm not going to write jokes. I'm just going to like hang out and do crazy things, like give... What's his name? Some fucking scratch-off tickets because he lost.
Bradley Cooper, exactly.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper did not win, so she's like, here's some scratch-off tickets. If you win something big, we split it 50-50.
Yeah, but it's nuts because Big Mama's and Papa's Pizza, the pizzeria that she ordered from, there's one on Santa Monica, like right where I live. She ordered from the one on Sunset, and I guess her production company, they order from Big Mama's and Papa's in Burbank all the time because they shoot at the Warner Brothers lot. So they have a rapport with the pizza company. The dude who made the delivery ended up receiving a $600 tip from all the A-list celebrities that like threw money into the Pharrell's hat. And then Ellen ended up giving him an additional $1,000. So he had like a $1,600 tip off of that delivery.
Oh, my God.
And according to the LA Times... An ad placement like the one that Big Mama's and Papa's Pizza had would have cost $1.8 million, like almost like a Super Bowl commercial. So they got a ton of publicity by
being featured. That's crazy. Did you think she cleared that ahead of time, or did she just fucking do that?
I don't know. Shit ain't real in Hollywood, dude.
Right. Like, I would figure all the security and shit, like... You know, a fucking tourist can be like, oh, shit, she just ordered pizza. Put on your Big Mama's and Papa's pizza outfit, put a bomb in the thing, and show up at the Oscars. Like,
roll up, yeah.
That can happen.
Like the second Naked Gun movie. So
exactly.
Wait, Chuck, have you had the Big Mama's and Papa's pizza?
It's fucking delicious, ladies and gentlemen. So
it looked good.
Yeah,
get yourself it looked really
there.
Good.
It's a really good pizza, and I know, Rob, you're a pizza connoisseur.
Yes.
And so
yes,
you like to save money when you order pizzas, right?
I do.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Well,
what are you driving at?
What I want to tell our listeners is that it's always the better idea to order the larger pizza than, say, like an individual pizza.
Why is that?
The pizza math here is that a pizza is a circle, and the area of a circle increases with the square of the radius. So,
right. For
example, a 16-inch pizza is actually four times as big as an 8-inch pizza. So if
yes.
you're sitting there, Errol, and you're like, you know, I could eat a full pizza, but it's just me, so I'll get the 8-inch pizza. It's more cost-effective and better in the long run to order actually the larger pizza because it's more than double the size.
I get that, but like my problem is...
And then the cold pizza in the morning?
See, that's beautiful, right? You've got the cold pizza leftovers, but my problem is I can't stop eating. So like over the weekend, I ordered a pizza, and I was like, nobody else is going to eat this with me because it's got the most disgusting things on it ever.
Anchovies.
Anchovies, pineapple, and jalapeno. That was my fucking pizza.
Christ, dude.
It was awesome. It was awesome. But I was like, you know what? I'll get the medium and have some leftovers for the next day because it's just me. I sat there and ate the whole fucking thing in like 20 minutes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So if it's in front of you, you'll eat it. You don't have
Right, so...
But that's the thing.
But the pizza math still makes sense.
It's large, then. It's not like you're paying for just a couple more inches and another slice or two. You're getting twice as much as you just
More
ate.
Than twice as much.
More than twice, yeah.
Yeah, like in the case of an 8-inch pizza and a 16-inch pizza, it's four times as much.
Ellen knew that, man. That's why she fucking ordered pizza for...
Right, that's why she ordered a bunch of large.
Washington.
That's an effective way to feed the whole audience.
She did lots of crazy shit. The selfie.
Yeah, she took that epic selfie with a bunch of Academy Award winning...
Oh, man, Bradley Cooper... Kevin Spacey. Who else was in it? I mean,
Jennifer Lawrence.
Glenn Close. I'm just kidding.
No. Who was that? Meryl Streep.
It was Meryl Streep.
Brad Pitt, Angelina. It was funny though because who's the girl from 12 Years a Slave? God, I just edited this out. Lupita, whatever.
From 12 Years a Slave, yeah.
Yeah. Who won the supporting actress?
Yes.
Her brother's in that picture. And he ain't nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Like, he ain't nobody.
He's blocking off Angelina Jolie. Liza Minnelli couldn't even get in the picture because Lupita's brother.
I will say, though, that was probably my favorite joke of the night. It was right. I mean, you know, she was like, well, there are two things that could happen tonight. 12 Years a Slave could win Best Motion Picture, or America could still be racist.
Or you're racist.
And they won Best Picture.
That's right. Well deserved.
Well deserved.
I didn't see it. I only saw Gravity. I'm racist.
I did not see Gravity. I hate space, apparently. Apparently,
Jesus.
I hate space people.
But that selfie broke all sorts of records. There were 2 million retweets and
counting.
It's still amassing retweets. And
it'll still, right, like when, like there's like fourth tier, like old people will retweet it like 2 weeks from now. Like
when
Rob
that,
will retweet it in like
right,
3 days.
Yeah. When that jackass in the office on Friday is like, oh my god, you see that Ellen selfie, dude?
Right. Thanks 2 weeks ago.
Jesus. But that new tweet beats President Obama's previous record achieved when he posted a picture of him and Michelle Obama when he won the 2012 presidential election, which only scored 779,000 retweets. In fact, the volume of retweets of the latest record caused like a brief service issue on Twitter. And
shut it down.
Ellen brought that up during the show.
Yeah, what's funny is I actually found that out beforehand because I was, you know, following it on Facebook as well, looking at all the horrible comments my friends are posting. And my niece, Courtney, was like, wow, Twitter shut down. Just when I wanted to like check it out. Thanks, Ellen.
Thanks, Ellen. So yeah, you were two-screening that shit, weren't you?
You know,
that's
it's 2014.
Sweet. It's 2015, man. You gotta get
three screen that.
You have your phone, your laptop, your iPad, and the TV screen going at once.
Same time.
Or you ain't living.
You don't know what's going on. You're missing half the show.
You're missing the show. You're losing out, like Leonardo DiCaprio, right?
Oh,
God, man.
Fourth
time that he is snubbed by the Academy, my man Leonardo DiCaprio.
Gilbert Grape. What's he not getting an Oscar? That's what's
eating. Give that fool an Oscar. John Travolta though should get an Oscar for a Razzie for the worst pronunciation of a well-known musician's name. Am I right,
Aaron?
What
about...
What's up, Adele. John Travolta? You can't say that?
Adele Dazeem. And I went back and watched it again.
Adele Dazeem.
I watched it again, and he doesn't stutter. Like, he looks straight at it and clearly says Adele Dazeem. Like,
Adele Dazeem.
Like, this is exactly right.
This is what is in front of me. It seemed like a lot of the, like, presenters had a problem with the teleprompter last night, but...
Yeah, well, that just proves, once again, like I say every year, that actors can't read.
We can't read.
Actors are stupid people.
There's always teleprompter problems, isn't there? Every year.
Not as bad as this. This year, everyone slipped up. Like, almost everyone did. It was like...
Well,
it was
true. I mean, but some of them were slipping up because they... Like, honestly, sometimes it was like, all right... You just read the wrong word because you're an idiot and you're being cocky up there.
Exactly.
Or you're, like, just fucking ridiculous. Who was the lady that came up with Matthew McConaughey?
Oh, yeah, that like, really bad excuse for plastic surgery. What's her name? I don't even know.
I don't know. She's, like, a famous old-timey actress, right?
But I knew was plastic surgery. I was like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Right, I was like, you ain't a real person. And she couldn't stand on her own. Like, he was holding her up. He had to finish, like... reading what was on her, like, when it was, like, her turn to read, she was just making shit up, and he was like, right, right, like, it says in this fucking thing here that you should be reading.
She basically pulled a McConaughey with McConaughey.
She pulled a McConaughey with McConaughey.
Apparently, though, it was Travolta's dyslexia that kicked in during his presentation that made him mess up her name.
I thought that Scientologists didn't believe in dyslexia.
It's heavily rumored that Scientology doesn't believe in mental illness.
Any mental illnesses, right.
Yeah, they don't recognize autism.
Man.
Even Travolta's son had autism, and they were like, nope.
No, Thetans. That's fucking dirty Thetans.
He's chock full of Thetans, John.
We gotta clean that shit up, get out the auditing machine. I found online a site where we could Travoltize our names.
Did you do it? What are our Travolta's names?
So, you and I are actually brothers. And I think
what?
It's because it's one of those shitty things, and because our name starts, our last name both starts with G.
Oh,
so, Errol Jesus. Gribble is Argyll Granite.
What's my name?
Chuck Ganchori, Clark Granite. It's a nice
Clark?
Name.
Clark?
That's like a good porn name. I'm just saying.
Clark?
Think about
that's
it.
Not, yeah, that's not bad. We're brothers.
It's not bad. And then Rob Hubbard becomes Rio Herward.
Wow, man.
It's what? Say that again?
Rio Herward. we're officially changing your name. Our producer's name, folks, is Rio Herward.
Rio Wardwell Herward.
Rio Wardwell Herward.
As Rob and Errol know me, and soon you guys will know, I'm crazy about fashion. And
Chuck
style.
Tries to be trendy, yeah.
I try, and it almost comes off that I'm trying a little too hard. I admit
yeah,
it.
Yeah. But here's my problem, though. When I was hanging out with you, like, you became, like, my compass for, like, what was good. But as I've grown to learn through like, my girlfriend making sure I wear better clothes and, like, you know, being online more, plus-size men have a very specific, like, fashion, like, I can't wear what you wear and look good.
You can't be walking around in horizontal stripes, Errol. Dude, it'll look like a fucking wall.
Seriously, look like a beach ball. Like, yeah, so I look like a chubby white guy should not dress like a thin Asian man.
Right, right.
Skin tone, everything's different. I mean,
it doesn't work for me all the time, you know, because a lot of my pieces are done after a season. I can't wear them ever again.
But you are a very fashionable individual.
Well, not fashionable enough. I'm not on the fucking normcore trend, and I don't know if you guys saw this on the internet, but normcore is the aggressively generic clothes worn by like Times Square tourists, and increasingly by the 20-something why did we write these fucking words on here?
Intelligentsia.
Intelligentsia in New York and other style capitals. And we're not talking like hipsters or anything like that. We're talking about just regular people not giving a fuck about what they're wearing. Just think hopelessly unstylish, middle American wear, like puffy white sneakers, loose chinos, unbranded curved brim baseball caps, socks with sandals. You know, that's Rob Hubbard's look, dude.
He
has been rocking that since, like, God, I don't even know, like high school. And so
seriously, since like eighth grade.
for all these people to be trying to like rock out the normcore, it's just craziness. It's
so
blowing
normcore
my mind, honestly.
Is like the new hipster. Like normcore is the new.
It's like it's on trend right now, and who knows how long it'll last. But I mean, like,
sure.
If you walk out of the house looking like fucking Jerry Seinfeld in a 1992 episode of fucking Seinfeld, then you're rocking normcore, dude. Both of you are fucking normcore, and you've been normcore this whole time, I feel. It's like,
yeah,
you're not wearing the, like...
I've done away with the socks with sandals. Like, Lynn Lammers is really, she's like,
she's helped
okay.
you out on that, yeah. She's like, yeah. No, that's not
gonna
work. It's back, Lynn. Errol's gonna be fucking rocking that shit. You can't wear, like, an American Apparel t-shirt. You gotta wear that Kirkland from fucking Costco t-shirt. Throw on an Old Navy performance fleece. Got your fucking Obama... fucking stonewashed jeans and your white New Balances and you're fucking all styling out, dude. You're on the runway for Marc Jacobs right now. It's how your middle school earth science teacher dressed, god damn it.
I own everything you just said.
I know, man, it's insane. And like before the show, I like was going through my closet to try to find something as normcore as I could. Nothing. All I have is like a sweatshirt. And that's not even really normcore because that's still fucking trendy, like to wear like sweatpants shit.
Right, right. You come over, I'll let you borrow some shit. Rob will let you borrow his fucking New Balance, and we're good to go.
Your fucking mock turtlenecks and shit? Oh,
yeah, man.
I got to get on that normcore now. It'll get me laid with some Hot Pockets, maybe, right? This teen...
That's what everybody's doing these days, fucking some Hot Pockets.
Had sex with a Hot Pocket and became a Twitter legend in the process. Known only as Thought Pocket and his Twitter Vine handle, at Versace Pop-Tarts, the youngster began his short-lived Vine/Twitter career by filming himself having sex with a box of cinnamon-flavored Pop-Tarts. And it's funny because he also posted pictures of it, and it's literally, there's just like this hole cut out of a Pop-Tarts box, and I guess he filmed it on Vine, fucking this Pop-Tarts box. But the video gained immediate traction, and it was quickly removed by Vine. Apparently, filming yourself having sex with Pop-Tarts box goes against the terms of service on Vine as well as Twitter. So he then tweeted, quote, 420 retweets, and I'll fuck a Hot Pocket on Vine after I heat it up, unquote. He received a ton of tweets, more than 1,000 the last time I checked. And
yeah,
Versace,
I would have done it immediately if I'd have seen it. Come
yeah,
on.
He posted the video. He actually did it, posted the video with the hashtag food porn. The clip was immediately deleted again.
For real food porn. Oh,
yeah,
man.
And then he was just freaking out. He was like, his continued tirade on Twitter revealed that he'd follow up his junk by food sexing by setting his eyes and penis on a donut, bowl of Jell-O, all sorts of shit. And then Twitter completely shut him down, suspended his account, and deleted his Vine account, and even the Hot Pockets brand page on Facebook blocked him.
So the clip's immediately deleted, so it's like, it's one of
nobody,
those things that nobody saw, or it's,
yeah,
you know,
nobody
it's one
saw
of those,
it. We don't
if
have
you go
any...
on the dark web, you might be able to get a fucking...
Yeah, if you can like find the deepest fucking...
The deep web, yeah.
The deep web in Reddit or 4chan, maybe they have a copy of the video, but... we didn't have one here for research sake.
He did say something about it, though, right? He was quoted.
Yeah, he said, I tried doing it without a condom, and it was just, like, way too hot.
No shit. Hey, Versace Pop-Tarts. Step one, don't put your penis inside a fucking Hot Pocket.
What are you going to pick?
Hot Pockets. Oh, man. Speaking of sex, a new species of marsupial has sex until it dies.
Every day?
Yeah. Born in November, the black-tailed antechinus, the male reaches sexual maturity around August, at which point they simply lose interest in anything else. They don't sleep. They don't eat. They spend their entire time looking to fuck something.
Summer's over. Time to fuck.
It's a dog days, motherfucker. When they find a willing female, the deed itself can last, listen to this, for 12 hours.
This guy is getting laid way more than anybody, and for
way
longer.
More than anybody.
He doesn't need that tantric bullshit that we all study, dude. He can just do it for 12 hours nonstop.
That's the secret. All you gotta do is, like, just keep it all in and then just have one massive sex fiend orgy for a couple months till you're dead. And that's how you have sex for 12 hours.
How long do they live?
Just a year. That's why it's amazing. He has sex for 12 hours. He only lives for a year.
So for 6 months out of that year, like for the first 6 months, he's kind of just like growing. And then like he hits his sexual peak at 6 months, just starts fucking for six months, 12 hours a day.
No, it's even less, right? Because he's born in November and then that August. So it's like basically like 9 months, 9, 10 months, really.
Holy shit.
Yeah, 9, 10 months of growing, just being himself, doing his thing, getting his groove on.
How do they do this?
And then they strip their body of vital proteins. They suppress their immune systems with inevitable consequences. I mean, you're going to fucking die. So
you're going to die, dude.
So they only fuck for a few weeks, right? It's like a few weeks of intensive sex, and then they just like, oh, dad.
They were like, oh, my God, that was so good. Wait a second, I didn't eat. I'm dead.
Seriously. Oh, the process is pretty exhausting for the female as well, particularly since they often mate with several males and store the sperm until they ovulate at the end of the breeding season, producing a litter with multiple fathers.
Holy shit, it's like Eyes Wide Shut for like weeks on end.
Meets
and
Jerry
like multiple,
Springer.
Yeah, multiple partners meets fucking Maury Povich. You are not the father. Doesn't matter. You're dead.
Some females survive to do this 3 times, but most die after weaning their first litter. So the females actually live longer. They'll live for a few years. I mean, but most of them don't. You're like, no.
Like, wow. Remember when we fucked for like
12 hours?
In a row, 12 hours a day for 8 weeks? It really took a toll on my body. I think I might die. Good luck, kids.
Your dads were awesome. Yes, for many antechinuses, the end is not pretty. Their fur falls off. They look very sick. They stagger around. Sometimes they get gangrene infections because their immune system stops working. But honestly, more often than not, with the males, they don't get to that point. Like, yeah, their fur starts to fall off. Like, they look haggard. I mean,
right.
But they die before they can die of infection because they die of just exhaustion.
Well, then
like,
that's
malnutrition, and yeah, and it's amazing. There's a video on YouTube where you can watch them, and they leap. These males are on like this hormone-fueled sex frenzy, and they're leaping in the air, like just trying to find the next mate as fast as possible. And then they just like bear down, and it shows like the progression after a few weeks. And he's like his heart's still racing. He's like climbing this like branch, and he could barely hold on, and he's still like, oh, God. He's like, you can see, like, he's twitching because he just needs to fucking put it in something. And then he just, like, his body seizes up, and he falls over and falls to the ground dead.
Wow. I mean, at least they're doing – they go out in a blaze of glory. They're enjoying their life.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I want to go out.
Dang.
No, that's not true. I want to go out slowly. Okay, over a long period of boring days, like I would sit there and watch Netflix for years and be okay. All right.
I mean, would you
fuck for 12 hours and then die?
Okay, so you wouldn't. I mean, for the pleasure of fucking for 12 hours every day and dying immediately after, it's not worth it to you.
I don't think it's worth it.
I would rather, I'd rather sit around, eat fucking extra large pizzas and fucking, fuck every now and again and then
maybe
and then
jerk
die.
Off once or twice a week, sure.
Maybe have that one 12-hour marathon jerk-off session. Wait.
You know,
just
me?
Just me?
Is that just me that does that? That's awkward.
Listen, playing Tetris helps you reduce cravings for food, alcohol, and cigarettes, a recent study found. I don't know about sex.
I love this story. I'm so glad you found this story. As an alcoholic. Oh, congratulations, Errol Gribble. 5 years.
Ooh, 5 years sober.
5 years sober as of the 28th. So was that last Friday? Thank you. Thank
you. Leap day or whatever is your...
Leap day.
Leap day William.
That's the 29th. February 29th is leap day.
Oh, so it actually, your sobriety kicked in on February 28th.
Yes.
It doesn't happen every 4 years or anything like that. It's a real
right. In fact, it's only during leap year that I don't drink.
Well, if you need help, playing Tetris will reduce those cravings, Errol. Psychology researches at Plymouth University suggests that playing Tetris for just 3 minutes can reduce those cravings in both strength and frequency. I don't know about sex, but...
Well, it would work with that as well. It should work with any craving.
Craving, addiction. The puzzle game is found to be effective in replacing the craving imagery that leads to indulgence, replacing it with the imagery of falling tiles that your mind can't stop arranging long after you stop playing. So, like,
right, you've been there.
You sit there, you close your eyes, and all of a sudden you're still fucking playing Tetris.
Still fucking playing Tetris.
Like, where's that fucking long piece? I can't sleep.
It's gotta work for some of the other ones like Candy Crush and shit too, because you know. You're fucking closing your eyes and you're watching Candy Crush. What's the other one that...
Flappy Bird.
Flappy Bird. You know you're flapping that Flappy Bird when you're closing your eyes.
We're trying to sleep, right. It's all part of what's known as elaborated intrusion theory. In the study, researchers had one group of subjects play Tetris while a second group was put in front of a screen and told the game was, quote, attempting to load, but ultimately not playing.
Damn it. I would be so pissed if I was in that second group, dude.
Yeah. Those who actually got to play Tetris were found to have a 24% reduction in the reported intensity of their cravings.
Wow.
So, I mean, it makes sense because if I'm sitting there and I want to play some fucking Tetris and then they're like, oh, yeah, don't worry, it's going to load. 30 minutes later, yeah, it's still loading, don't worry about it. Like, I'm getting pissed off if I'm not...
I need a drink.
Yeah, give me a drink, give me some fucking drugs, and I need a smoke or something. If I don't have those, then I'm throwing the fucking controller at the screen and I'm...
Seriously, I've been staring at that little fucking circly wheel of death for 20 minutes. A little bar that says still loading. I'm going to punch the fucking screen out.
Exactly. I'd be like, where the fuck is my Tetris?
However,
ultimately, the study concludes that playing Tetris could be a quick, effective deterrent that will keep your mind occupied whenever cravings arise, possibly helping you kick addictions entirely. So, anti-kindness, if you want to not die so early off.
Right, dude. All we got to do is get those little marsupials to fucking play Tetris. So, speaking of holding our cravings back, though.
Yeah.
For our listeners, this coming Wednesday, if you're probably listening to it on Wednesday, happy Ash Wednesday.
No, this Wednesday is
this week.
Lent starts this week?
Lent starts this week, my Catholic friend.
Oh, no. I'm not ready.
What are you going to do? What are you doing this week, this year?
I mean, you know, I do my usual no fast food, no soda, candy.
Are you doing it, though? Because your usual is no fast food, no soda, no candy for a week.
No, that's bullshit.
Like, how are you doing?
Last year I did slip up right when the Doritos Locos Tacos Ranch version came out. No, had those. Man. However, and we were talking about how Taco Bell is going to be dropping a new breakfast menu on the 27th.
Right, but that's fine. You could do that. That's like fish on Fridays. You could totally...
No, but that's fast food, bro.
That's like meat on Sundays or whatever. There's got to be a...
There
Jesus
is no gray area.
Come on, Jesus would give you a break for Taco Bell.
No, Jesus didn't have a break in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights.
He did. The devil tried. Devil had been in the form of a Taco Bell breakfast, we would have no savior.
Or you. You're like, yeah, it's all good, bro. You can do it. Don't worry about it. It's only your soul.
So fast food.
No fast food, no candy, no soda. And it is kind of meager March. I kind of cut out some extra things that I shouldn't be paying for.
Meager March. Good for you.
But what are you going to do?
No meats, no sweets.
Really? No meat?
No meats, no sweets. That's
right. This motherfucker's going no meat for the entire length of Lent?
I've done it before. I will say that going vegetarian for a short period of time is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It forces you to be creative.
Where do you get your protein, though?
Beans and shit, man.
Peanut butter.
Just fucking buckets of peanut butter.
I'm just going to eat a fucking gallon of peanut butter every day.
No, you can get protein. In fact, there's like more protein in things like broccoli than anybody even knows. I mean,
oh, no shit.
Yeah, man, it's all fucking... It's the meat industry trying to brainwash the people The problem is I love the taste of meat. So, but I've done it before, and I'm going to do it again. It's great. It's cleansing. But it also, you know, it's definitely robbing my body of, or myself of something that I love. Yes. The other one is giving up sweets. I'm trying to give up, like, all sugar, but sugar's in everything. So.
Everything, man. You can't eat a cutie, a seedless, easy-to-peel cutie, and not have a bunch of sugar.
Right. Or, like, you know, I mean, you could even say, like, sugar is in shit like pasta, you know? Or like spaghetti sauce. I don't know. There's like simple...
There's some sugar in spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, there's some sugar in spaghetti sauce. So, yeah, here's my question, though. Because it's not yet, right? Tomorrow's Fat Tuesday. So tomorrow's, do you go all out, man? Because you can't have like candy pop or fast food. Do you like go all out the day before?
I do. I sure do. I'm gonna go out tomorrow, get a shamrock shake at McDonald's.
I got one.
Double quarter pounder. Yeah, it's delicious.
It's delicious.
Shit, I'm gonna go after the show. I'm gonna go and get this shit done because I'm not gonna be able to eat this shit.
I went to an old country buffet.
No, without
for
me?
Lunch
God.
Today. I had
Damn
to.
You.
I had to. I had 10 pieces of fried chicken.
Oh. Fucking thighs.
I wish I was
breasts and thighs, dude. Not
breasts
fucking chicken
thighs.
Wings, dude.
Who needs a goddamn wing?
He's not eating a goddamn mighty wing, dude. He's eating breasts and thighs.
And then it was ridiculous. I got like the corn, the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, the gravy,
mac and cheese.
Not the mac and cheese though, but just like, and then just chicken, just fried chicken, and then I just hit the dessert bar.
Oh my
God. They were like, who's the, like, I was carrying two or three things back at a time from the dessert table.
That is absolute heaven.
I'm going to be dead. Speaking of dead, a dead Mississippi man kicks to escape his body bag.
Oh, I saw this week. This guy was alive.
All over the place. He's alive. A funeral director and a coroner in Mississippi got the shock of their lives this week when a man put in a body bag because he was believed to be dead kicked to get out just before they began the embalming process.
Just before they started removing the blood from his body.
From his body.
This guy.
Snowball. Wow. His nickname was Snowball.
No, his nickname was Snowball.
He was born in it was 1936, the year of the big snowstorm. So apparently, I don't know, like there was a lot of people born in 36. I don't know how this guy got the name.
They're all shouted.
They're all Snowball.
Black dude gets Snowball.
Yeah, this black dude with crazy white hair, Snowball. But some people now are calling him Miracle Man.
No, fuck that. Your name's Snowball, Snowball.
Your name's Snowball, Mr. Williams. Snowball, who lives in Lexington, was pronounced dead around 9 o'clock Wednesday night. The coroner could reportedly not find a pulse. A few hours later, workers at Porter's and Son Funeral Home prepared for embalming. And that's when they began to hearing some noise from a place they're not used to hearing the noise inside the body bag. In fact, he thought at first it was like a pacemaker or something, but they finally opened up the bag. Snowball opened his eyes.
I really feel that the people involved here, these fools in Mississippi, they wanted Snowball dead, my friend.
Right. This was a conspiracy against Snowball.
Snowball was passed out, you know, maybe had one too many fucking...
One too many corners. Fucking snowballs.
His heart had slowed down to a snail's pace because he ate too many fucking Hostess snowballs. And his coroner was like, yeah, he was like, he's not alive.
Apparently, they say the doctors believe that he suffered congestive heart failure. So, yeah, they immediately called the paramedics. They were like, yo, Snowball's alive. And they transported him to the hospital. He's now in stable condition. Snowball is now on oxygen, but he is resting comfortably.
Well, good for you, Snowball.
Did you ever play Snowball in like a middle school dance?
Yeah, where you would kind of like you'd be dancing with your partner, and then they'd be like Snowball.
Snowball.
And you would like switch with somebody else that was nearby, or
right, dance with a stranger. Yeah. I fucking hated that game because I was the last fucking Snowball in the party.
Right, Snowball was kind of like. Snowball was kind of like speed dating for like middle school, dude.
Right. It was like last man standing for fucking.
And before even getting into the couple, it's awkward. And then when you get into the couple, it's totally awkward for like 30 seconds. And you're just like, hey, I don't talk to you ever.
Right, but I sat there like, the thing is, all I had was like one, maybe two awkward dances ever, because I literally was like one of the last people grabbed. You stand in the line waiting to be grabbed by somebody, and all I kept thinking about was that one lucky fucking asshole who was like one of the first people dancing. He got to dance with like 20 different girls.
That's true. I'm sorry, Snowball Gribble. That was such a bad experience for you.
A senior politician with Poland's ruling party, accused of drunkenly shouting "Heil Hitler" at a German customs officer, apologized on Friday and stepped down as head of his party's group in the European Parliament.
You better, you goddamn Nazi.
Yeah, you don't come back from that. That's not like, you can't be like, oh, just kidding.
Freudian slip. No.
No. There's certain things you can't say. Like, I worship Satan. It'd probably be one of them. Like, if Obama came out and was like, praise Lord Satan, like, yeah, you're not allowed to be president anymore. Heil Hitler is another one of those. So his name, I'm going to butcher, Jacek Protosiewicz. It's Polish. Protosiewicz. Punchki? I don't know. By his own account, drank two bottles of wine on a flight from Warsaw to Frankfurt, and then he got into an argument with the customs officer as he tried to leave the airport terminal. Punchki had earlier this week defended himself, saying the customs official provoked him by addressing him rudely and shoving him. Germany's Bild tabloid quoted eyewitnesses as saying Protowisch to Punchki had been drunk when he landed at Frankfurt Airport, shouted "Heil Hitler" at the customs officer, and then asked him, "Yo, you ever been to Auschwitz?"
Yo, man, you ever been to Auschwitz?
I don't think he said "yo," but he said, "You ever been to Auschwitz?" Like, what is that? What happened?
Yeah, exactly. So every time that you get drunk and you get shoved by anybody, your inner Nazi comes out.
Right.
This guy, it's just like in public. Wow.
You ever heard of a fucking gas chamber, motherfucker? Well, in a statement issued through Poland's state news agency on Friday, whatever his name is, Punchkiewicz, offered apologies to anyone for whom, quote, my inappropriate behavior caused distress.
Yeah, and by anyone, he means everyone.
Everyone who's not a Nazi.
This guy has Nazi sympathizing tendencies that are unchecked.
What is it about booze that makes people turn racist? Like, or do you think they're already racist and the booze helps it come out?
It's like a truth serum, man. It's like that fucking Blue Frog wine that people are drinking.
It's like fucking David McGregor's Blue Frog wine from last week. I watched, you know, they showed the Oscar montage of all those movies, and you know, they showed fucking Mel Gibson Braveheart.
Yeah.
And all I thought about was like his anti-Semitic rant that he did when he was pulled over drunk. It's like, you're ruined forever, dude. Fucking Passion of the Jew hater right here.
Yeah, don't be a fucking Nazi, okay?
Don't be a fucking Nazi.
It's the bottom line. Don't be a Nazi.
Man, you look at some of those conspiracy theory shit, and Americans are full of Nazis.
What?
Oh,
Obama's a Nazi?
Obama's a Nazi. That's not true. I take it back. Oh, I had my first class today. I got to tell you the story. So I had our first class for Christo Ray. For those folks who haven't been listening to the show, my girlfriend and I are teaching this class for this community center. Anybody in the planet, because no one listens to the show. So we got to meet the kids and whatever. And we have this little fifth grader who's like the most violent human being I've ever met in his life. We're playing a game called What Are You Doing? Where you go around and like you're acting out one thing and somebody asks you, hey Chuck, what are you doing? And you say anything other than what you're doing.
Okay.
You know, so it's fun. You could be like, oh, I'm shaving a cat. And then the person has to act out shaving a cat. He was like, oh, I'm assassinating the president.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, you can't say that. Like, the fucking Secret Service is going to come in here and arrest your fifth grade ass, dude. You can't shout, I'm going to assassinate the president. You can't be like that.
They're going to throw you on the ground. They're going to tase you.
Oh,
and they're going to charge you for being a fucking Nazi, you fifth grader.
You fucking fifth grade Nazi? No, these kids were full of crazy. One girl was like, I've always wanted to feed ramen noodles to a shark.
Where are these kids getting this shit?
I don't know. Kids these days, man.
Wow. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/WestXMidwest. subscribe, stream, download, maybe write a review on iTunes. Check out our website, westxmidwestpodcast.com.
.com!
There you can find our Twitter, our email, past episodes. But what we really want you to do...
What we really want you to do... Leave us a voicemail.
It'd be so much fun for you to just call up 734-562-2385 and leave us a voicemail.
Leave us a voicemail. Your voice gets on the show. You don't have to listen to us talk nearly as much. You can be like a 10-second guest, but you don't have to actually deal with being interviewed by us.
Right, and you can say whatever you want, and it
whatever
won't matter.
It won't
you can
matter.
Come on there. You can come on there and be like, Heil Hitler. No, no, you can't do that. We won't play that.
We will. Fuck it, we will. I don't care. You can say, I'm going to kill the president. Fuck it, there you go.
We'll play it.
We'll play anything. But call us, call in, because Chuck and I are starting one of the roughest times of the year for both of us. We're just self-deprecating and spiritual enough to buy into the whole Lenten bullshit. Really, because, you know, our parents will get mad at us if we don't. But we're grown-ass men who are still afraid of our parents. So we're going to need your support. Make sure I'm staying on the whole no meats, no sweets. Chuck's staying on the no candy, no dandy.
I need to hear your voice. It'll reaffirm what I'm working towards.
Why we do what we do.
The intention that we set for our listeners and our guests.
Yeah, come on, folks. What would Jared, Buddy Jesus Leto, do?
Give us a call. 734-562-2385. We look forward to hearing your voice. Thanks for listening this week, and we'll see you guys next week for our, what, is it St. Paddy's Day next week, or no?
Rob, what we got going on next week?
Amber Marissa Cook.
What?
Oh, next week. Next week when we have Amber Marissa Cook, amazing costume designer here in Michigan, on the show. She's
wonderful.
A lot funnier than we are. You're going to want to tune in.
Yeah, come back next week, guys. Thank you so much. I'm Chuck Anchori.
I'm Errol Gribble. On behalf of Rob Hubbard, this is BM.
West
by me! See
you next week.
Soldiers all in cadence, new Mercedes for cadets. Ballman uniform, you know Don the designer vest. Double M that be the army, better yet the Navy. Baby see me in that rave, wanna have my baby. All I wanted was $100 million in a bad bitch. Now I want 200 in Minaj in my palace. Walking out the jeweler with no motherfucking balance. Somewhere in Jamaica, I'm still holding on my chalice. Rims on my Ferrari, my bitch said that I was childish. Till I fucked the girl, a girl tweeted that I was stylish. When we fucked again, she told me that was just some foul shit. I walk into the room, you can't even hear all the silence.
I see his blessings wash away my sin. Thank you.